folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and again, I think it's on Wendy's. I fill in from Elder Seastrom with Discount Gold and Silver. It's a financial survival. We're glad you're with us today, and I do mean that. We're still waiting for for Wendy Wilson get on with us. She hasn't yet, and she may not show up today. I don't know. But Wendy's always with us on Wednesdays with her updates, and she's always does a great job. So she may join us a little bit. If not, we have a lot to talk about today. No shortage of things to talk about, folks. Believe me, things are really heating up. Again, this is Pastor Butch Paul, filled in for Amelda Seastrom on financial survival. I'm glad you're with us today. Just make yourself to home. Let's talk a while, okay? We want to share with you all we can what's happening right in the world, in the news, and, of course, financial news, because this is a financial program. So Amelda's on the air to offer you the best deals possible for some financial security in the way of precious metals. But anyway, let's get right into the metals. Metals were kind of a mixed bag today. Gold was actually up $9.84 to $16.74.10. Silver was down 0.35% to $19.06. Platinum was down $1.50 to $8.54.50. Palladium was up $24.49 to $21.34.50. So a mixed bag. I don't know how that worked out that way, but it did. And the U.S. markets were all up slightly today. The Dow was up 82.20 to 29,321. The S&P was up 2.53 to 3,3591. NASDAQ was up 26.57 to 10,452. So all of them slightly up. Overseas, not so much. All were down, but just a little bit. Nothing much. I mean, not as much as you think it would be with what's happening in Europe and everywhere else. The DAX was down 0.39% to 12,172. The FTSE was down 0.86% to 68,26. Hang Seng was down 0.78% to 16,701. Nikkei was down 0.02% to 26,396. USDX was up a little bit, 0.04% to 113,27. Oil actually went down. $2.21 to $87.14. And natural gas was actually down 2.53% to $6.43. So there you go. The markets are just bouncing around, holding their own. Although the Dow is still down well below 30,000 when it was near 37,000 not too far ago, So who knows what that could hold in the future. But I don't look for things to turn around. I have received a text today from my friend Rob West, and we'll be on my program this coming Wednesday night to discuss what's going on. And folks, he's sharing things that is coming out that's unbelievable. I think we all better hitch up our pants for a rough ride ahead. I mean that, okay? But on the way of some good news that I doubt will come to fruition, but I want to share it anyway. Believe it or not, one of our U.S. representatives here in West Virginia, his name is Alex Mooney, has introduced gold standard bill as inflation spirals out of control. Now, the gold standard, folks, we went off of a long time ago, back in the 30s as a nation, 71 as a world economic power, went off silver in 64. There's a final value of anything to the U.S. dollar, and we've seen the results since. But Representative Mooney has introduced a bill to try to put us back on a gold standard. This is what it says. America's currency would regain stable footing for the first time in a half century if a bill just introduced by U.S. Representative Alex Mooney becomes law. Referred to as the Gold Standard Restoration Act by sound money activist H.R. 9157, calls for the repegging the Federal Reserve note to gold in order to address the ongoing problems of inflation, runaway federal debt, and monetary system instability. Upon passage of H.R. 9157, the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve would have 30 months to publicly disclose all gold holdings and gold transactions, after which time the Federal Reserve note would be pegged to a fixed weight of gold at its then market price. I'll make comments here. It's going to be hard, I do believe, to get the Federal Reserve and U.S. Treasury to actually disclose its gold holdings, if they have any left at all. I don't know. Either way, I don't know on that. And gold transactions, if this passes, which I strongly doubt it will, I like for it to, but who knows what will come out of that. And if the dollar is pegged to gold at its current value, at its then market price, that'll make a dollar worth a lot of money today, so to speak. But we'll move on. Federal Reserve notes would become fully redeemable for and exchangeable with gold at the new fixed price, which U.S. Treasury and its gold reserve backstopping Federal Reserve banks as guarantor. The gold standard would protect against Washington's irresponsible spending habits and the creation of money out of thin air, said Representative Mooney in a statement. Prices will be shaped by economics rather than the instincts of bureaucrats. No longer would our economy be at the mercy of the Federal Reserve and reckless Washington spenders. That would be amazing. Do I see it happening, to quite honest, no. But I'm kind of proud of Representative Mooney for at least bringing this up and bringing it to attention of H.R. 9157, actually the bill being proposed. How far will it go, folks? I have no idea. Only time is going to tell. But to have it introduced is a step in the right direction. That's the first time that's been, I think, brought up to amount to anything in a lot of years. But I have a hard time seeing the Federal Reserve coughing up its ability to print money and tag it to something of value that would mean that they would have to control their spending and not print so much. They couldn't print as much because it had to be backed by gold to be printed. That would slow a lot of things down for a little while, but once it's leveled out and the money become of value again, I think we'd find things, as he said, really moving into a more solid future for economics in our country. And that would certainly put the world on notice that America is serious about this and wanting to get back into a real game of finances. So we'll see what happens with that. Just keep in mind that's been introduced. If you feel led to, maybe you'll call your congressman, let him know that they need to support this bill, which again is H.R. 9157, and see what happens. Even the banksters are being forced to admit that the U.S. economy is really starting to come apart at the seams. It's wake-up time. For months, there's been a tremendous amount of denial out there. So many of the experts assumed that the Federal Reserve and other central banks had everything under control and that things would return to normal before too long in our dreams. But that hasn't happened. Instead, the wheels seem to be coming off the bus and nobody seems to know what to do. The Fed appears to be determined to keep raising interest rates in a desperate attempt to fight inflation. And this has forced other central banks all over the globe to raise rates as well in order to keep their currencies from absolutely tanking. But all these interest rate hikes are taking us into a major global economic downturn, and central banks in Europe are literally screaming at the Fed to end the madness. But the Fed is not going to end the madness, and so things are going to get really bad. You know, I'm not by any means a financial expert. And with the Fed doing what it's doing, I really didn't know that would actually hurt world economies so much. And they're actually begging the Fed to stop this before everything collapses, but we'll see. In fact, Bank of America is now projecting that the U.S. economy will lose 175,000 jobs a month during the first quarter of 2023. As pressure from the Fed's war on inflation builds, non-farm payrolls will begin shrinking early next year, and it's translating to a loss of about 175,000 jobs a month during the first quarter, the bank said. Charts published by the Bank of America suggest job losses will continue through much of 2023. And that's what they said would happen. That's what the Fed said would happen. We would raise interest rates and jobs, people would lose jobs, be laid off. And I assume they think that's a good thing. To cool inflation, I guess it means people won't be able to afford to spend as much money because they don't have it. Oh, well. The premise is a harder landing rather than a softer one, Michael Capon, head of the U.S. Economics of Bank of America, told CNN in a phone interview Monday. In my opinion, if our job losses are that small during the first 3 months of the year next year, I think that would be a huge win. Another bankster, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, is also deeply concerned about the future of the U.S. economy. But when you can't talk about the economy without talking about stuff in the future, and this is serious stuff, Dimon said, citing inflation, quantitative easing and Russia's war with Ukraine. These are very, very serious things, which I think are likely to push the U.S. and the world. I mean, Europe is already in recession, and they're likely to put the U.S. in some conversation 6 to 9 months from now, he said. Actually, the U.S. economy is in recession right now. But I agree that things will soon get a whole lot worse. At this point, even the most optimistic woman on Wall Street is warning of disaster. ARK Investment Management, Kathy Wood, said that the Fed is doing what the Fed is doing has potential to create a deflationary bust in the country. Could it be that the unprecedented 13-fold increase in interest rates during the last 6 months, likely the 16-fold come November 2nd, has shocked not just the U.S. but the world and raised the risk of a deflationary bust? The Fed giveth and the Fed taketh away. Wow. I wish I had more knowledge to share, make more sense of that. I just know that what we're seeing in the Fed is not it's not working. The Bank of England already quit trying to raise interest rates. They started doing quantitative easing again, and they're begging the Fed to do the same thing. Either way, and I could be wrong with this, maybe they'll get it together and pull it down, but I don't think so. I think that we're going to see an economic collapse no matter what happens. And it could be the more we try to jack up the economy, the harder it's going to be when it falls. I'm not an expert, as much an expert as Melody is and a lot of people out there, including Rob West. But I can't see this lasting, even at the point of trying to get, even inflation would slow down some. With a tightening of the economy like this, it's going to hurt, I think, more people in a much deeper way than it's going to help. That's my opinion. In my opinion, in $2, buy a cup of coffee about anywhere. So anyway, moving on to something here that I think is more realistic. PepsiCo's average product prices spike 17% year over year. Now this, I mean, Pepsi admits this. This is amazing. While the Fed sits around and rearranges numbers, equations, and definitions to try and couch what is obviously an ugly inflationary picture for the country, at least one company is giving it to the people straight, PepsiCo. And folks, PepsiCo is a huge corporation. I mean, you wouldn't believe what all they own. The company reported earnings this morning, posting a 9% rise in the third quarter. Sales and offering up increased guidance as it keeps raising price on both snacks and its flagship beverages. The 12% increase it expects from full-year organic revenue, noted by Wall Street Journal this morning, comes at the hands of an average prices rising an astonishing 17% from the year prior. The price hikes also have also helped the company raise its profit outlook. It now expects per share earnings growth of 10% for the year, the report notes. The rise in prices has helped offset a slight decline in overall sales volume, the report says. This means that Pepsi is fighting the recession that the country is in with more inflation. Now, this makes sense, folks. If you don't sell as much, you raise the price, you still keep your sales up. That makes sense, doesn't it? Perfect sense. So, because inflation, they're not selling as much, so they raise prices, so it puts a double whammy on us. But they're still making money. And I told you this before, businesses, corporations will make money. They're not going to lose it. They're going to pass it on to us, but they're not going to lose their money. Believe me. It's also a stark reminder of what the real year-over-year cost hikes of everyday goods has been for everyday Americans, despite CPI continuing to hover in the high single digits. In addition to prices rising, consumers are also grappling with shrinkflation, wherein more expensive items come in packaging that contains less actual content than it used to. And folks, we've been seeing that for years. We have been seeing shrink packages for years. I don't care what it may be. My wife and I do not eat pork of any kind because we know it's not good for us. We usually, if you're buying bacon, it's turkey bacon, but the prices went up and the size of packages have been going down for years. This is the only beginning, folks. They're trying to keep the prices low by cutting out on the product. Either way, we lose. Let's move on here. Companies like Pepsi have been passing along the rising cost of raw materials, transportation, labor, the report says, reminding us that food inflation in the U.S. is the highest it has been in 40 years. Grocery prices were up 13.5% in August, and this week will be it will be this week we will get the latest CPI data. If Pepsi is a leading indicator, there doesn't seem to be much to be optimistic about. PepsiCo literally is the CPI for many people in this country, and in that case, inflation is at 17% year over year. And I'd say that's closer to being true than what we are going to hear from CPI, no doubt. That's closer to being true for sure, and probably still an understatement. But it's something that I think we need to pay attention to because Pepsi is telling the truth. They're making a profit raising prices, making a profit by cutting the size of their packages and raising prices anyway. They don't come to know this. They submitted to that. So for whatever it's worth, I guess they should get credit for being honest. And obviously the cost of goods are going to continue going up. Well, the price of packages, I mean, the size of the package is going to be going down and continue that way. Wow. Peter Schiff said something here that I've heard Melody say many times. The Fed didn't create the inflation problem last year. It was decades in the making. Folks, that goes back as far as I can remember, at least since 1964, when they took silver out of the backing of the dollar. Every administration since then, Nixon right on up, has increased federal spending. Remember, I told you last week, I think it was, that when George W. was in office, the federal government was $6 trillion in debt. Today, it's over $31 trillion. Now think about that. That's been 20-some years. We went up from $6 trillion to over $31 trillion. And we did that by printing more money. And printing more money. This didn't happen overnight. No, Peter's right. It's easy to look back over the post-pandemic era and say the Federal Reserve stayed too loose for too long in the face of a rising CPI. For months, the central bank ignored the inflation problem, claiming it was transitory. As Peter Schiff pointed out in the podcast, the loose money problem isn't anything new. It's been going on for decades. You can trace the Fed's inflationary monetary policy all the way back to 1998 and the long-term capital management bailout. And folks, this is only, to my mind, that's even too early. I mean, that's too close to this date. It started before then. That's when the Fed really started printing money. And then it printed even more money in advance of Y2K. And even more money after the NASDAQ bubble popped in 2000. And even more money after the real estate bubble popped in 2008. So it's not just 1 year of excess money printing. The Fed been too loose for almost 25 years, flooding the economy with cheap money. I know it's about break time. I think we'll go to break and back and finish the article after the break, folks, because this is, tell it like it is. This is happening. I still don't hear music, but I know it's got to be getting close. So don't, back after the break, folks. A lot more to talk about. Don't go away. Been hitting up my buddies, got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working. Working for a living. Working for a living, never, never working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, all things and what they used to do, radiation underground.
All righty, folks, we're back, and this is Pastor Butch Paul, this is Financial Survival. Of course, Melody again is not here on Wednesday as usual, but you do need to give her a call, folks, at 800-375-4188. You know, there's things coming down that I won't get all in the program today. It's impossible. I do want to finish this article here by Peter Schiff. So Wharton School of Business's finance professor Jeremy Siegel was recently on CNBC arguing that if the Fed had simply started hiking interest rates and ended quantitative easing sooner, instead of claiming that inflation was transitory, we wouldn't be in this inflation problem today. Well, that may be true, maybe very true. But I do know that I got some information in from a friend of mine, Rob West, and Rob is saying some things here, folks, that are really interesting. He said global debt markets are on the verge of collapse. The bond market is melting down with 75% losses of some bonds. Bank of England warns investors they have 3 days to liquidate. Now, what's that mean? We'll have to wait and see. Japan's 10-year government bond has zero buyers for 3 days. Russian troops pouring into Belarus by trainload. Russian preparing for a massive attack in Ukraine. Pentagon says biological gender counts for the draft. All those born as males must register. Mm-hmm. Germany to burn 800 million COVID masks to produce heat. So they said finally found a use for these things. We're going to cover this in a few minutes. The Europeans panic are buying firewood, or trying to get all the firewood they can for heat. And some are getting horse poop to burn for heat. And by the way, cow manure and horse poop does make good fuel. It does. So these things we're seeing happen. There's none of this is made up. This is all for real. And worldwide, we're seeing confusion and chaos. I mean, when you have Iranians rioting in the streets in a country like Iran, they're willing to risk their lives to riot, and the things, even in the Middle East, are heating up. We're seeing a lot of things come together really quickly here. But this story is not financial, but I think it's important. A California city water supply is expected to run out in 2 months. Now, folks, I want time to get into all this as far as primary water. There's plenty of water. There's no shortage of water. And I'm serious about that. You say, well, the river's going to dry. There's water on the ground more than we'd ever see on the surface as far as fresh water. But nonetheless, you look up, so just type in primary water source and see what you find on that. This little town called Coalinga, California, the residents of this sun-scorched city feel California's endless drought when the dust lifts off the brown hills and flings grit into the living rooms. They see it when they drive past the almond trees being ripped up in the ground for lack of water and the new blinking sign at the corner of Elm and Cherry warning, no watering front yard lawns. The fire chief noticed it when he tested hydrants in August. A rare occurrence as Coalinga desperately seeks to conserve water. And the first one shot out a foot-long block of compacted dirt. The second one ejected like a can of Axe body spray. The school superintendent could only thank drought on the first day of school when a four-year-old fell into an unwatered turf, breaking an arm, or when the chainsaw dropped three coastal redwoods outside Henry F. Bishop Elementary that had withered and died. Superintendent Lori Valenzuela said even lost a portion of her own right lung last year from a drought-aggravated illness called valley fever. That's caused by breeding soil fungus whipped up off the dry ground. Well, what lies ahead might be far worse for the 17,000 residents living amid the oil derricks and cattle farms on the western edge of the state's Central Valley. Coalinga is only one source of water. A shrinking allotment from an aqueduct managed by the federal government, and officials are predicting the city will use up the amount before the end of the year. Most folks who's managing it, the federal government. Nothing could be bad about that now. That looming threat has left city officials racing between meetings in Sacramento and phone calls to U.S. Bureau of Reclamation seeking to increase their water supply. Some residents have begun stockpiling 5-gallon water jugs in their homes, while many expect major spikes in the water bills. If Coalinga can find relief, it will be forced to buy additional water on the open market at exorbitant prices and could swamp the city's budget. That could swamp the city's budget. Wow. You know, all these things have got to be planned. None of this happens. All this cannot happen by chance. Come on, folks. Let's face it. The COVID scheme was a big move to put the whole world into a lockdown, to ruin economies, to cause this inflation, to cause people to become desperate enough to fall in line and obey their government. And fortunately, some people saw through it and are rising up and said, no, we're not going to do this. But they're not finished yet. When they drop a town's water supply, people can't even get drinking water. When they can't even take a bath or wash their clothes, they're going to become desperate. And if they do comply, perhaps they'll be given some rations. But if they have the courage to rise up and say, no, we're not going to fall for this, then we know what that leads to. It's not a pretty picture. You know, we can look at it and shrug our shoulders to it if you want to, but it's not a pretty picture. Fear rising from winter season. Europeans panic by firewood and stoves. You know, I'm so grateful, and I know West Virginia's a very backward state in a lot of ways. I realize that. A lot of people around here where I live still burn wood and coal for heat. A lot of them do. They may have, you know, they may use electricity or natural gas or other things, propane, as their main source. But every one of them still has a wood stove or a fireplace or something on hand in case something goes wrong. And that's something I'm very thankful for, that even I still have a wooden coal furnace in the basement that I can use if necessary. That's a blessing. As natural gas and electricity prices soar, many European households turn to firewood. It moves to offset higher energy costs as the heating season begins. Rising demand for firewood is sending much of Europe back to the medieval days of using stones and fireplaces to heat homes. The sabotage of the Nord Stream pipeline system underneath the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany sparked even more energy uncertainty among Germans as many brace for what could be the coldest and possibly the darkest winter in a generation due to the rising risk of power blackouts. Yeah, folks are discussing 3-day power blackouts in Europe now. On Friday, European Union leaders failed to agree on a price cap for the natural gas as the energy crisis might worsen this winter as freezing weather could quickly draw down supplies from storage facilities and catapult prices even higher. About 70% of Europeans use natural gas to heat their homes, and according to Bloomberg, some 40 million people are now burning wood to heat their homes. New demand for a heat source that's been around for ages has doubled the price of wood pellets per ton to 600 euros in France. Bloomberg pointed out Europeans are panic buying the world's most basic fuel. Demand is so high that Hungary banned exports of wood pellets. Romania capped firewood prices through spring. Let me repeat that. Hungary banned exports of wood pellets. They're going to keep them for themselves. Smart move. Romania capped the price of firewood. That'll cut down on supply. People can't make money, won't cut it. It's back to the old days when people wouldn't have the whole house heated, said Nick Snell, managing director of a British wholesale firewood retailer, certainly would. He added firewood is in high demand. I'll make comment here, folks, growing up. Probably everybody there thinks, man, he's really back in the woods and really a backwood hillbilly. But I grew up as a young boy. We would put blankets up around rooms that we did not need to heat at the time. We put blankets up to keep heat in the front room and keep the house warm where we were. So we wouldn't go into other rooms. Those rooms didn't need to be heated, so we didn't have heat going in there. We didn't have water lines running and everything, so we didn't have to worry about that. We kept the front room and the kitchen warm, and I guess the bathroom too, but We didn't need heat in every room, so we blocked off those doorways. As my sons grew up, I had a wooden coal stove in the front room, and we had the same thing. We'd get cold enough, we'd lock off some of the doors and keep the heat where we want it in the front room, stay warm in the front room. Then we go to bed and get in a warm bed and sleep tonight. Nonetheless, that's how I grew up. And I used to kind of, well, I never really thought much about it because we weren't the only ones doing it. Most people were doing the same thing in the area we lived in. So it wasn't anything unusual for us. But I thank God that I grew up that way. Now I see the need of it. I truly do. Let's go back to the article. The boom for firewood has also meant stove demand is high. Gabriel Klinklunger, a manufacturer of high-end tile stoves, said orders have had surged more than fourfold, and customers have to wait until March for delivery. Well, by March, the winter is basically over. Firewood has become a scarce commodity in this heating season, forcing some households to burn anything they can find. We're worried that people just burn what they can get their hands on, Roger Seaton, head of their air quality unit at the Swedish Environmental Protection Agency, said. In fact, this is true. Polish households have started to burn trash and coal as firewood supplies dwindle. The UK has finally come around to informing citizens about the power blackout risk. The country's grid operator warned about the significant risk of nat gas shortage that could trigger three-hour power cuts this winter. Well, before the heating season, we detailed this in length about soaring demand for firewood. We noted in August that Google searches for firewood in Germany have exploded. And even in July, cited Deutsche Bank senior economist Eric Heyman, who indicated substitution for gas would be firewood. Well, yeah, I think maybe they should think about that a little bit because, folks, we become so dependent on luxuries. You know, flip a switch on, flip on the furnace, and we got it made. We don't worry about anything. We got heat coming in. No one to go outside and work up a sweat to gather firewood or bring in coal. And we stay warm in all the house at one time. We all got used to that. Even I did. Well, even with the wooden cold furnace, folks, my house stayed very warm all over the home because it did a good job. Now that I've been blessed, last summer I put in a heat pump to try to make things a little easier as I get a little older. Cutting wood now is not easy for me it used to be. It hurts my back and the other thing. But nonetheless, I can still use it if I have to. It's not like it went away. So it's just one of those things that a lot of us may have to be falling back on. And I suggest that you start planning right now. Don't wait till the middle of winter, even in states where it's normally not as cold, like Texas, another place along the border. It gets cold enough that you got to have some kind of backup maybe. Why not plan on that? You can still find wooden coal stoves available in our area. I guess you can where you are. But if this gets to the point where people can't afford to pay their power bills or gas bills or what it may be, they're going to start buying up stoves and trying to get wood in. Why not plan on that? It's no big deal. Put a wooden coal stove in, run a flue up through the ceiling, and do it the right way, and make it safe. But have backup. It's like do for finances. Why not put something back of value? Paper's no value, folks. Not when it ceases being what anybody accepts. Call Melody up and talk to her at 800-375-4188. Liz Truss panics as markets keep plunging. In spite of her U-turns, the current market unease may be out of Truss's hands. This is London. Try as she might, Liz Truss can't calm markets. Despite reversing her plan to cut tax for the highest earners, bringing forward a more detailed budget statement by almost a month, and halting the appointment of a controversial senior civil servant to oversee the Treasury, the Bank of England was again forced to step in to try and stabilize market turbulence. Insiders pointed to the surprise appointment of James Bowler to the Treasury top job, passing over Antonio Romero, who was widely briefed that had got the role as a sign of number 10's anxiety. The Prime Minister is panicking and reaching for almost anything that she can to calm the situation. She was so burnt by the fallout from the mini budget that anything has seemed bold. Now she wants to massively trim back, said a senior Whitehall official. Treasury officials say that Chancellor Kowalski-Curtin's tone in the past week had become markedly more conciliatory as he tries to stay the buffs. But in spite of these U-turns, the current market unease may be out of the government's hands. So it's, again, UK, they're hurting also. This is something, folks, that's coming together at a rapid pace worldwide. Will change anytime in the near future? I seriously doubt it. Because now we have financial oligarchs says central banks will have absolute control over of money in coming cashless society. Now, this is what they want. This is where they're going. They're going to cashless society as fast as they can take us there. When people panic and the dollar's no good, the government steps in and said, don't worry, we'll give you this card. We'll put money on it for you. You can use it just like cash. It'll be more convenient. Nobody can steal it. Of course, they can. Of course, nobody can hack into your account, can they? That won't happen. And people will buy it because you're desperate. And besides, like I said, it's more convenient. A video is going viral online showing the general manager of the Bank of International Settlements, Augustine Carstens, issuing a disturbing message about the future of the financial surveillance state and the plans for a cashless society. Central Bank's Carstens says, we'll have absolute control of everybody's money. Central banks will have absolute control of everyone's money. The video, which initially surfaced in 2021, has gained renewed interest after announcements from the Biden administration and other governments regarding the development of central bank digital currencies. Known as CBDCs for short, the currencies are federally issued but take the form of crypto and are being touted as a means to usher in a cashless society. By getting rid of cash and using CBDCs, Carstens boasts, governments and their financial oligarchs will be not only be able to track purchases globally and see exactly who's buying what, but they'll also be able to fulfill their long-time goal of having absolute control over financial situations. We don't know who's using a $100 bill today, and we don't know who's using a $1,000 peso bill today, the Mexican money man said, bemoaning an anonymity of cash. He doesn't want anonymity, folks. They want total control. The key difference with the CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of the central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that, he said. Carstens plans to seize control of the wallets of the world resemble those touted by American figures like Joe Biden, who earlier this year signed his executive order seizing control of cryptocurrencies and laying the groundwork to turn America into a cashless society. Under Biden's order, the federal government of the United States will work to design a functioning centralized cryptocurrency. Just last month, Biden's Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announced that the government-led cryptocurrency ordered by Biden will not be anonymous. Much like the plans revealed by Augustine Carstens, under the Biden administration's federal cryptocurrency, transactions will be tracked and government agents will theoretically have knowledge of every item purchased by American citizens. Aren't you excited about that? Wow. Break time again, folks. Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we're back, and this is the final segment of Financial Survival for today. Obviously, Wendy didn't make it today, and I really hate that because I'll always have love having Wendy on. She's a joy to have on. But we're doing the best we can to bring forth some news to you folks. It is vitally important news. It is vitally important news. I was talking to a producer, Todd, there during the break, and Todd's a pretty good fellow. He really is. I don't care if he's a Yankee. He's a pretty good guy. And we get along real well. But we talked about during the break that if jobs start falling off like they say they're going to that first year, the $174,000 a month, or who knows what, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. But even if they get inflation down to zero, or if prices even drop, if you're not working, how are you going to buy it anyway? How's it going to help anybody if they're not working? That's just maybe I'm just not seeing the picture here. Maybe I'm just not understanding how it's supposed to work. But that makes sense to me at all. Let's move on to a different issue, a different topic, but a very important topic. Missile barrage unleashed on Ukraine is merely the first episode of Putin's revenge. Moscow bows as Poland carries out bomb shelter checks following rocket blitz, and Belarus announces joint military force with Russia. Wow. It's growing just like the U.S. wants it to, like the world powers want it to. A huge missile barrage unleashed on Ukraine today is merely the first episode of Russia's revenge for the blast which crippled the Crimea Bridge, and there will be others, one of Putin's staunchest allies warned today. Dmitry Medvedev, a former president, the Russian president himself, said Ukraine posed a constant, direct, and clear threat that the Kremlin should aim to completely dismantle the political regime of Ukraine, which he described as Nazi. He spoke shortly after Putin let rip with 83 missiles and what he claimed were military, energy, and communication networks in Ukraine. Kyiv said the missiles actually hit power plants and busy civilian areas in major cities, killing at least 11 and wounding scores more. It was Russia's largest single barrage since the opening day of the war. As Medvedev issued his threat, Belarus dictator Alexander Lukashenko appeared to be laying the groundwork to join the war. He announced Russian units would combine with his own and deploy to the Ukraine border, accusing Kyiv of planning to attack him, attack with help from allies Poland and Lithuania. Belarus has acted as a staging ground for Russian attacks on Ukraine, but has not yet been involved in the fighting. Polish Interior Minister Maciej Wieczek said his government is now inspecting its bomb shelters to make sure they are fit for purpose, though insisted the move is routine and not in response to Russia's bombardment. Warsaw is preparing for the darkest scenarios, even if there is only a small probability that they will occur, he added. Wow. It's expanding, folks. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how to explain any simpler than that. I like to say that it's winding down. They're going to have peace talks, and they're going to try to work out some kind of deal to make things maybe not go so bad, but it doesn't look that way. And it seems like it's growing every day, and more and more countries have become more actively involved in this so-called war. No matter which side you agree is right or wrong in this situation, an escalating war is not something I think we should look forward to. To think about a global nuclear world war is unthinkable. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think it'll go that far yet. I really don't. We'll see. But any size war, any war that goes global, folks, by global I mean spreads into Europe and other places, is not going to be a good thing. And Europe is a conglomerate of nations divided by, we'll say the East and West, and it doesn't look like anything's going to be worked out peacefully. Zelensky calls for NATO to launch nuclear weapons. This guy is a homosexual comedian. He's president of the country, and he's boss in the world. The West should announce it will cut off all military support for Ukraine, and they should yield the Donbass to Russia, since that has been Russian territory for centuries. For Zelensky is out of his mind. This is a TV comedian who neither appreciates life nor the fact that he's pushing the entire world into war, all for his demands. Ukraine needs to replace his idiot with someone who is rational and understands that in every war, always there are more civilian deaths than soldiers. He never changed his shirt at all to pretend he's at war, hiding in his bunker while he puts his entire country at risk for land that was entitled to vote for their separation, which was the Minsk Agreement. This many will cause nuclear war in the United States. He is totally insane and has openly refused to negotiate any peace until Putin is overthrown. If that happens, the real hard lines will come, and his bunker will not save him from a major direct nuclear attack. I'm very familiar with the seething hatred between Ukrainians and Russians. It was that same hatred of Serbs that launched World War I and 7% of the world's population died. Those who cheer Ukraine on will not be armchair generals in this war. He's bringing it to every continent and to every neighborhood near you. Pretty dire words there, folks. Pretty strong language. I don't know what to say to that. Ukraine leader wants NATO to not launch nuclear weapons. Now, you know what that would, if Russia has a huge offensive building right now, it's already started because of a bridge being crippled. What if someone would fire a nuclear weapon at them? Whether we think they can take on that whole section of country in Europe or not, I have no idea. And that's beside the point. When war starts, millions are going to suffer. And as this article points out, it's not just the military. Everyone involved in the war, everyone that's in part of the war, everyone who's there that when it's happening around them is going to suffer. If you think things are tough now in Europe, with lack of natural gas for heat, a lack of food supplies coming in, lack of all these things, if war would erupt, you can imagine what it would do to the whole continent. If it spread like it probably would, what would it mean to the good old U.S. of A., who's had so much for so long, become accustomed to living a soft life? And because of that, we become a very decadent, immoral, callous society, to the point that we pretty much lost our sense of direction morally, and we lost our sense of responsibility for taking care of ourselves even. Oh, you say, no, I haven't. Yeah, we all have. Most of them, yeah, we all have fell for it to almost everyone, because we depend on some kind of government check to take care of us, some kind of government benefit to take care of us. That's at least 80% of the population today. There are a few out there who are independent and are not dependent on that. But let's face it, most of us are. I'm retired. I'm 74 years old. I like that check I get coming in a month that I paid into it for years. That was a ripoff, and I lost money doing it. But nonetheless, I need to pay the bills and buy groceries. So we see we've become dependent on something that's controlling us now, we like it or not. It's called government. And it's going to be a world government that does it, and already has started. The world government already pretty much is running the whole world. I say the world government, I mean the elite, the UN members, and all the, we're going to, no point getting Illuminati and all that. That's all for real, but that's not the point that I'm trying to say is, we become a world of dependence. Our nation of America are consumers, not producers, consumers. A nation that is so lazy, they'd rather have a handout than they would stand out and work for themselves. That's what America's become. You don't have to like what I'm saying. It's not going to change the fact that I'm not telling the truth. We become a nation that they become dependent on every other thing but what we should. God Almighty, and working to take care of ourselves. The insanity is only growing. The anger is only growing. The greed is only growing. The people's greed is showing through, obviously. But the powers that be to control us, and I mean they control us. Oh, yeah, they do. You don't have to like it. It doesn't change it. They control us. Overall, they pretty much dictate how we live, where we live, what we earn, what we do. Well, I'm telling the truth. You know I am. Those elite, they're greedy, probably more greedy than most of us are. Because they use their benefits that they give us to control us and rape us even more. They're bleeding off a healthy body, have been for years, because they produce nothing themselves. They bleed the life's blood from those who do produce, to finance their own ways and even to finance our own demise. Been going on for years, folks. We trusted them, and now we're in this mess. Warned about it. Warned not to do it in scriptures all through the Bible. We're not to do that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, one of the first places. Not to ask for somebody to take care of us like a government, like a king. Jeremiah 17:5 said the same thing. But here we are, up to our eyeballs in it. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's move on to something different and really insane. Now, I'm not making this up. This is for real. New Zealand proposes taxing cow burps and pee to tackle climate change. Now, this is out of Wellington, New Zealand. New Zealand's government on Tuesday proposed taxing the greenhouse gases that farm animals make from burping and peeing as a part of a plan to tackle climate change. The government said the farm levy would be a world first, and that farmers should be able to recoup the cost by charging more for climate-friendly products. But farmers quickly condemned the plan. Federated Farmers Industries' main lobby group said the plan would rip the guts out of small-town New Zealand and see farms replaced with trees. Federated Farmer President Andrew Hogard said the farmers had been trying to work with the government for more than 2 years on an emissions reduction plan that wouldn't decrease food production. Our plan was to keep farmers farming, Hogard said. He said farmers would be selling their farms so fast you won't even hear the dogs barking on the back of the pickup truck as they drive off. Wow, they're going to tax them for cows burping and peeing. It's not funny, is it? It's insane, but it's not funny, is it? It's disgusting. That's what it is. French gas rationing begins as refinery strikes worsen after government called back essential workers. France said on Tuesday it would requisition, that means force, essential workers to staff Exxon's French oil depot and threaten to do the same for Total's French refineries if talks failed to progress. The workers at Total's Donges refinery decided on Tuesday to strike beginning on Wednesday, the militant French union CGT said, according to Reuters. I have therefore asked the prefects, as permitted by law, to requisition the personnel needed for the function of the company's depot, she said, referring to Esso France. The orders are ready, a source at the Energy Ministry said, adding that requisitions would only take place if the situation at depots does not improve. So they're going to draft people to work these things. Doesn't change really quick, they said. They're going to have to do this, and they're going to be rationing gas. Unless you're on empty, you don't buy gas. That is happening right now, folks. And one more item today, I'll wrap it up with this. Pfizer exec admits under oath, we never tested COVID vaccine against transmission. Remember they used to quarantine people off? You can't go in there if you don't have the vaccine. If you do, you can get through here freely. They never even tested it to make sure it worked. A senior Pfizer executive has admitted under oath that the company never tested the COVID vaccine to see if it prevented transmission. As Jack Phillips reports via the Epoch Times, member of the European Parliament, Rob Ruse, asked during a session, was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping this transmission of virus before it entered the market? Did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? Pfizer's J9 Small, president of the International Development Market, said in response, no, you know we had to. Really move the speed of the science to know what is taking place in the market. Watch as Pfizer executive J9 Small admits to you at Parliament that Pfizer did not test the vaccine for preventing transmission of COVID prior to its being made available to the public, Small says we had to really move at speed of science. We had to do everything at risk. Really? Millions of people worldwide felt forced to get vaccinated because of the myth that you do it for others. Now this turned out to be a cheap lie and should be exposed. You don't get vaccinated just for yourself, but also for others. You do it for all society. That's what they said. Today, this turns out to be a complete nonsense. In a COVID hearing, the European Parliament, one of the Pfizer's directors just admitted to me that at the time of introduction, the vaccine had never been tested on stopping the transmission of the virus. Folks, this is what we have been duped into again and again and again and again. When will we ever learn? We're being hauled down the chute right into the back of the truck. Time to turn around is running out. But the masses never seem to see it. They never seem to see it. And that is so, so sad. And probably never will till it's too late. That is where we are today in this world. And to see the shape of falling to, folks, you need to call Melody, please. Do it while you can. 800-375-4188. Do what you can while you can. Melody will be back here tomorrow, of course, with Dave. I'll be back with you Friday with Melody, hopefully. You'll have a great night, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.